Let's all scream.
Hi everyone and welcome to Let's All Scream. I'm Shahla Ali.
I'm Saleh Al-Break.
And I'm Hassan Marashi.
And welcome to our latest episode. Joining us today, again, is...
Ali Najjar. Oh, you guys, I'm taking over this podcast. The Ali Najjar show.
You know how there are some shows that we watch that have like spin-off characters?
Yeah.
So Ali Najjar is like, now, this is his chance to make a spin-off show. So he's going to do as many like plugins as possible throughout the episode.
At ALINAJJAR. Follow me on Instagram.
Well, no, but it is great having you again.
Thank you.
We love seeing you and we
are sad to see you go.
Yes.
Soon.
We're basically seizing the opportunity while Ali is here visiting us from Bahrain to have him on as many episodes as we can.
And I think it's a good way also to, are we announcing it right now?
Yes. So
I'm going to have my own partner.
as a, not necessarily a send off, but so we decided as a group that this was going to be our mid-season finale. We're going to be taking a short break for about 4 weeks and then we're going to be coming back to continue season two.
Yeah.
And so for the 15th episode of the season, we're happy to have Ali here so that he can add a bit of maybe a fourth dimension flavor. Yeah. We really had fun in the last episode and we're glad that he could join us for this week as well. Unfortunately, he is going, but you came right in time for the mid-season finale and where we're going to reveal his darkest and deepest secret. So stay tuned towards the end of the episode. But yeah, I just wanted to make announcement.
Imagine you guys, like when you take mid-season off, I just like, you start seeing a new podcast. It's like exact same design, but it's just called like I Am Screaming. And it's like every the exact same day you guys post it and everything.
Only I'm screaming. Yeah. That's what you should call it.
But speaking of your trip so far, how has it been?
It's actually pretty good. Like I'm enjoying it. So in Bahrain, we're on a 2 weeks closure, which we haven't had one since last year.
Okay.
And I'm on a forced, I mean, not really forced because I'm super happy about it, but I've been requested to be on annual leave just because I have a lot of days. Mm. Haven't actually traveled properly since November 2019 when I went to Japan for my birthday.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm not really upset about it, but then I was in Bahrain for the weekend only, the beginning of the closure. And then it's getting really scary in Bahrain to the point where, I mean, it's better now, but to the point where I started knowing people in my immediate circle that are testing positive, which is really unfortunate. Alhamdulillah, they're much better now.
Yeah.
But then it was like 2 weeks closure and then people around my immediate that I know that are positive and then being off of work, I'm going to go crazy alone at home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then I decided to come here.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing, but I also, and Saleh can attest to this, but I also have this like PTSD a bit where like yesterday we went for breakfast to grab coffee and like baked goods, and I made him go to 5 different coffee shops just because we go into a place I'm like no it's too crowded,
To be fair, I get where you're coming from. When my family visited back in October, it was exactly the same way where I feel like when people come or go to a different country, they bring their like you said, PTSD. They're afraid, so they have all these like cautions and like they're taking their.
And each country's in its own phase,
exactly.
So you have to also keep that in mind that everyone's at different stages. Like I feel like here in Dubai we're quite at the end of the fear. I want to say,
I think we're very laxed in our approaches.
Because I feel like with our kind, like here at least in the UAE, we were very strict in the beginning.
Yes,
and it was like very. There was a lot of restrictions.
Yeah, which a lot of people followed, which thankfully, like, the good thing is here when it was a lot of uniform decisions, everyone followed, everyone participated. And then when we didn't go all the way open, we kind of like
slowly
like bit by bit every week or every 2 weeks that we now, I think, learned our lessons. So we've never, my favorite word of the week, we've never regressed.
Alhamdulillah, so far.
Alhamdulillah. I get why. But you know what, Ali, someone was telling me whilst you were here, I was telling my colleague, and I was like, oh, my best friend's in town. And I said, but it's a bit...
best friend. You hear that, Hassan? How do you feel?
And now you know the topic of the episode.
So guys, I'd like to also announce that after this episode or after our mid-season break, Saleh isn't coming back. It's just going to be
this Hassan. Is my finale. So basically, I told them about like how you were in terms of like how, you know, against all of the... you know, sanitizing everything and what have you, and being extra careful when we go to like restaurants, etc. And my colleague actually said, and she was like, you know what? I actually feel like we should all be like him. Like, I think we got to a place where we're too lax.
Too lax.
Where we were sanitizing everything.
Yeah. And,
okay, maybe not to that extent, but she's like, I feel like we've gone too lax to the point where we're living as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
So she was like, maybe we should take a few points from him and actually meet somewhere in the middle. But no, continue about your week and how it's been.
Yeah, so it's mainly that. But then I've also been, it's been good to see friends. Like, I have a few Bahraini friends that are here that I haven't seen in a while because they moved here for work and haven't actually visited Dubai in a year and a half.
Right.
So it actually was good to see them. Of course, anyone I meet, I'm like, hey guys, okay, we're meeting at 8:30 in the morning because it's less people. But it's good, honestly. And it's refreshing to kind of like just simple things like going to the mall or just staying at home or just having breakfast with families and you guys. So it's pretty good, honestly. I'm super happy I did this because I honestly feel like, so I was discussing this with my mom, and then with the whole global situation that's going on, I feel like people are really falling into like mental stress.
Yeah,
and it's either this or that, so I'm like, you know what, at least I'm not gonna just fall into an abyss of mental stress while I'm at home. I'm doing something, I'm at least taking time off.
Yeah.
Change of scenery.
It makes a big difference.
It really does.
With my family, I remember my dad was only able to come for
a shorter period. Than
I think only like 2 weeks. Mm. But that alone was amazing. And that I feel like by the end of the trip, he was at least able to go back with a bit of a clearer head and able to like, you know, again, it's a refreshment just to be able to. Mm-hmm. See human beings and go out and
One thing I wanted to also say was that I didn't know I needed Ali to visit more than after he visited. And what do I mean? I realized that throughout the whole past year, and you guys have seen it, I haven't been going out as much.
Yeah.
Actually at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I went to a cafe for breakfast and I don't remember the last time. So there was a lot of things that I, you know, because we were so restricted and we were all staying at home to the point where I got so used to it that I became a homebody. And then, after when the restrictions were lifted, everyone was going out. I was just like, oh no, I don't want to go. Like, oh, there's, you know, we're going for dinner. No, thanks.
Yeah.
We're going for breakfast. No, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, I would make my outings very limited. And even to work, I would, you know, be very, like, relaxed on, like, okay, flexible. Okay, I'm going in today. I'm not going in the next day.
Yeah.
So when Ali came over, I actually told him, like, we went to the Dubai Mall one day. And I actually told him, you know, this is my first time in this mall in a year and almost, a year and 2 months or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I said that, I realized, like, okay, how long it's been.
Yeah.
And then when we had breakfast the other day, exactly the same thing. I was like, I've never gone out for breakfast and actually sat at a cafe in over a year. Like, these things are so funny that it made me realize that I miss these like everyday small things that I never realized was a...
Made a big difference in your life.
And never, you know, like never made... Because I think I was just getting so used to that routine of just staying at home.
Yeah.
But little things, just interactions with people, going out, tasting flavors again, and going, you know, discovering the city or the new form of travel, which is within your area.
Yeah.
I just took that for granted.
It's funny because... I think like you, we experienced something very similar where when Ali first came and we were talking about all the different places that you want to see or that you had like a small little list of these different restaurants or cafes that you want to visit, we, like Saleh, haven't been going out. We only go to the places that we trust or that we're comfortable in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, like, for example, we'll know that this place is quieter, this place doesn't have a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah. Or at most, we'll we'll go to places that we've missed, but we wouldn't try anything new.
We wouldn't, exactly. So so then when he brought up this list or like all these different places that we've seen, but we haven't gone to.
Yeah.
Because whenever we go to it, either we, like you said, we see like it has, we're not, it's a new place.
Yeah.
It's not somewhere.
And by the way, all the new places that opened in the past year are packed because they're the new place in town. Yeah. So every time Ali was like, oh, I heard this place opened, I was like, no, that has a queue out the door. Oh, this place opened, I was like, oh, that's busy.
Yeah. Or,
so I'm telling him, like, listen, nothing new. Yeah. Like, but although we did go to new places,
we did,
but then it's just that's when we went different time
to breakfast at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Because no one else was there on a weekday.
So then we did that this weekend and we were actually able to go to a new place and try new foods. Like, even I remember when I was looking at the menu, I didn't want to, there was things that I was obviously, I usually go for. And I was like, no, I don't want to try these just because I want to try something new. Yeah, I want to try something out of my comfort.
I was saying to Shahla, like, we're too young to be, you know, that couple
set
that
in our ways.
We're too young to be just set in our ways and trying the same restaurants, the same foods and stuff. I was like, no, we need to, you know, venture out a little bit.
And I'm glad we did that because it really, like, again, pushed us out of our comfort zone. And I feel like I feel alive for the first time in a really long time.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah.
Speaking of stepping outside of comfort zones, one thing that I avoided like anything was basically meeting new people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. The things I've been told either by my parents, by my friends, or by my family, when I would tell them, oh, for example, I'm going to go, and my work, as you guys know, in tourism, I meet people every day.
Yeah.
So when I tell someone I'm like meeting this new person for coffee or for a business meeting, literally I get the person telling me, are you sure you're okay meeting a new person? You don't know where they've been. And I'm like, what does that even mean? So subconsciously, obviously I ignored that, but subconsciously it's kind of ingrained in my
head.
It sat in my head. So I stopped meeting new people. Mm. And I literally came to your house, like you guys, Hassan, Shahla, I would come to you to hang out.
Yeah.
I would go to coffee with that one friend that I go to coffee with.
Mm.
I would do road trips with that one friend I do road trips with. I wouldn't go outside that comfort zone. But this week, with Ali being here, obviously, he had a few friends that he wanted to catch up with. And so I tagged along like a third wheel. And one of the friends, like when we went out for just a simple lunch, was a really cool guy.
Mm.
And we had a really good lunch. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, oh, it's so refreshing to... there's memes everywhere online about how our generation is going to forget how to socialize once we go back into social like gatherings and events. And I thought I was going to be that awkward person that was like, when I meet someone new and they're like, how are you? I'll be like, blah, blah. You know, like, I wouldn't know how to converse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was nice to be able to meet someone new and have that interaction and, you know, have that kind of like, you know, just... be out of again your comfort zone.
That's so true. Like, I feel like I've forgotten. I bump into a few people here and there that I know already.
Yeah.
But I've forgotten how to interact with them because
it's super awkward.
And
for some reason,
there is like awkward silences where I'm just like, I don't know how to socialize anymore.
To me, it's not awkward silences as much. And I realized this over the past year. And I'm super social. Like, you guys all know this. I'm a very big social butterfly. But then I realized that with the past year, my energy runs out quicker.
Right.
Like, in Arabic, we call "mali barov." As really as sad as it sounds, بدي صار مالي بارض أوادم. So it's like I lose the energy to
interact
with people. I'm just like I'm over this. I want this to be over. I just want to go home. Or you know, which is bad. And I'm trying to like kind of readjust or fix that a bit.
This actually brings us to our subject for the day, where we're gonna be talking about first impressions and. How it's like, how we have our first impressions with people and how we think about them throughout our relationship with them.
Yeah. And each other. Like, I would like to sit down and ask each of you.
Well, you guys, your first impression was like.
Well, me and Hassan's first impressions was seeing each other as like 8 months old and like 9 months old. So I thought he was just a whiny baby, just crying.
but
I would be interested like to ask you guys and Yani, like obviously like Ali, you know, how the impressions that he had of me, I had of him, what he had of Hassan. So it'll be interesting to see what we thought of each other in the beginning and if we still think the same now.
My first question actually is, with first impressions, do you carry out that impression? Like the first impression you have of someone, is that going to be carried out throughout your entire relationship? Or how do you like...
Yeah, it depends, I guess, what's the impression I get or what's the little like
anecdotes. Let's say a negative.
Yeah, for example, like say I had a meeting with someone, right, through my work, and we were sitting at a restaurant, and the person was very social, very nice, but very rude to the waiter. So I was just like, so that to me is a no-no. That's right. Like an etiquette thing or like a human thing.
Yeah.
That's like a basic, basic no-no.
Yeah.
That when I thought to myself, I was like, okay, now for me, always someone says, like there's all these sayings, trust someone when you see them who they are the first time. But then there's always these people that say, no, give everyone a second chance. Because I know myself that I've given first impressions that may not be the best impression.
Yeah.
Because I just have been having a bad day.
Yeah.
But when I see someone doing those type of things, those are things I can't ignore.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's not you having a bad day. Mm. That's
just an aspect of your personality.
Yeah. So that's where I draw the line. So it's a very broad topic when you say first impressions.
I think it depends on the severity of it. Like obviously something like that is quite, you know, off-putting.
Severe, yeah.
But if it's something like, you know, you say just maybe the person was quite reserved or quiet, or they seemed like they were just not speaking. I'd be like, okay, you know, maybe they're just having an off day, or they felt awkward or shy.
Yeah. It could just be that they're shy again. Yeah. Like you just said, they're shy.
Or they're not social.
Yeah.
People are not social, but then they come out of their shells.
Exactly. After and so you really get you to have know to them. Keep that in mind. Like, okay, maybe the next interaction or the one after that, they'll open up a bit.
Yeah.
I do have to say for me, when I get, there's one particular interaction that I had, or a first impression I had of someone. And this is a long time ago, but I remember it clearly. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a social gathering, and the person was wearing a dark outfit.
Yeah.
And I was holding a drink in my hand, and I accidentally spilt the drink on them. But I remember they were a bit taken back, and they were quite annoyed with the incident.
Yeah.
And
this is your first interaction with the person?
The first one I remember clearly with this person.
Okay.
And I feel like till this day, I'm A, scared around them. B, I feel like that was an impression that they had of me.
Mm-hmm.
As in like, oh, this is a clumsy person.
Yeah.
And or that's at least in the back of my mind. So I feel like I'm always reserved when I'm around around them. So I don't know. When I say bad first impressions, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
One thing I wanted to add also is something that we don't necessarily speak a lot about, which I feel, by the way, is something we should, especially with Gen Z coming on after us, is first impressions based on social media platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Not interactions.
I have,
if I were given a nickel for every time, well, maybe not a nickel, 25 fils, for every time someone told me, you're so different than what I thought you were on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. Maybe I am naive. No, I am naive. Like, I am not, maybe I'm not fully aware of myself and the things that I do or the way that I present myself. But I always try to tell someone, but at the end of the day, how much can you tell based on pictures?
Yeah.
You know, like, how much can you tell based on tweets?
Mm.
You can tell maybe someone's thoughts, but it's always like a snippet of someone's personality.
Yeah. Part of their personality,
But you can't necessarily judge someone or have a first impression. So that's something. But then, I'm shaking my head for those who can't see. But I'm saying, because I do it as well. I look at a profile and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I could be this person's friend, or, oh, I can't. I don't think we'll get along.
Mm.
Well, then when I meet the person, I'm so taken aback, and then we become friends.
Mm.
And then when I tell the other person, like a colleague or a friend, they're like, didn't you just say the other day that this? I was like, no, but this person is so different.
Yeah.
So I get told that a lot as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, I don't know. I don't think anyone should have first impressions based on social media profiles. Mm. Yes, on interactions, but not on profiles. I feel like that's too narrow.
I feel like that's easier said than done, because we all do that. Even in real life, when we meet a person, 100%. Within the first like 20 seconds, we make a judgment of some sort.
Yeah, 100%.
But social media, by the way, like I've gotten, like you say, judged that when I enter a room, a person or more would purposely not speak to me,
yeah,
thinking
and look at me in a way where I feel like they know me,
yeah,
and then I hear from another person
and they've already formed an opinion,
and I've literally heard the words, oh, that person hates you, and I have no idea
who they are.
And for me, yeah, hate is such a strong word, yeah, that I would be like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And then again, based on profiles, yeah, which is a bit like,
it but was, I mean, in a way, like with you, Saleh, I think, you know, I've said this to you before, I feel like you are different on social media than you are in real life, but and I feel like you're different on this podcast than you are on your social media platforms.
Yeah, which is why, by the way, I wanted to do the podcast, yeah, because I felt like, at least on the podcast, people can actually hear my thoughts. I feel, yeah, like it's the most intimate version.
And it's a longer form of content.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, yeah, say in Instagram, you're very reserved, or you show very little of who you are.
Yeah.
It's just, but how, I think it's that's
just
like
how I was brought up, I guess. Mm. My parents always was like, okay, just not be conservative, but don't, but not everything needs, yeah, to be made public.
To be fair, I'm like that. Like, I had very limited posts, and then I went through a phase after I gave birth,
yeah,
and I just completely deleted all my photos. And now I have just one photo. But I feel like, cause you go through different phases and you're just like, okay, now I'm more of a reserved type on social media, just because I don't know. It was a switch. It, yeah, was just one day, a decision I took, and that was, I've moved forward with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so like I was saying, I feel like on social media, whether it's you or whether it's anyone, you're on there for a specific purpose. Either you're sharing parts of your life and small parts, which are, you know, curated, kind of. Also, you're either sharing an opinion, or if you're an influencer, you're sharing a product,
yeah,
or trying to sell something,
yeah,
or promote something. So I feel like with that, people only get to see a small part of you. So I don't think it's fair for people to surround their whole assumption about you or anyone else just based on that.
Yeah.
But it happens. We can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I completely relate. Like, I actually have been on both sides of the spectrum, where I have a friend of mine she's my friend now. I met her through social media, but I've known her before social media because people tag her and she's here and she's there.
Right.
I don't think she listens, but her name is Idana. Like, she'd laugh at the story. She'd love it. Before I actually knew her in person, I was like, oh, I really don't like this person. She's so like loud, and she's so this. And I am very loud also, but I thought she's very much the type that's like, she can easily fit into a TV show. Mm. Like, she's that personality. Right. It's oh my God, how are you guys? And I was like, what is this fake personality? Like, I really disliked her for no reason. She didn't even know I existed, which is terrible. Like, I actually say this publicly, like, that was terrible on my behalf. But then when I actually met her in real life, this is her personality in real life. This is her.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was like, oh, this is actually you. Like, I actually really like you. I think my point was like, oh, I thought you were making up a fake personality
for
social media. Yeah. But then I was like, no, this is 100% genuine you every day in real life with your family, with your friends. And I just fell in love with that personality because I'm like, it's so genuine. And I loved it.
Right.
And then on the other side, a lot of people, like you said, Saleh, where people have a preconceived notion of who you are. I've had a few people come up to me and they're like, oh, through your social media, we thought you're maghroor. What's maghroor?
Full of yourself.
Yeah. Full of yourself. Yeah. And I've had
that. Besides that, which you are.
And I've had it told to me so many times, but I think what I've learned from it, because here's the thing, I don't get upset because I can understand and see how people would think this way of me.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't even know if this is like a advice to you, for example, Saleh, with what you said, but to me, I don't really, and I don't really take into consideration. Yeah. I don't get upset when people tell me, oh, we thought you're maghroor. We thought you're full of yourself. Because I'm like, I can see how you think that. It doesn't really matter to me. Yeah. I'm okay with it. And then if you meet me in person, you can see how I could be different.
Yeah.
So to me, what I learned through this whole first impression thing is, if anyone has any idea of first impression of you, don't take it
personal,
yeah, because there might be a few reasons why they thought like that, and then you can reflect, and maybe you did something. Like, to me, I'm like, I can get it, but this is how I am. I don't get upset about it. You get to know me, you get to know who I am.
And also the whole famous saying of, you're not going to have the entire world's not going to like you.
No.
Yeah.
You're always going to get people that don't.
And that's 100% normal and fine.
Yeah. But I agree. I think when looking at first impressions, before it used to affect me, I used to be very affected from hearing these random people that I actually don't know their names.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they are. I just see them in events and I just hear about them. But to now being like, well, I know myself and I know I'm not this way, so it doesn't really bother me. But I do self-reflect at the same time.
Yeah.
And I do ask myself. Yeah. That I do. I don't consider it me being bothered. It's me just self-reflecting.
Do I actually do something?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe let me self-reflect. Do I give off this energy? Do I not? Right. How can I fix it? Because I wouldn't want anyone to think that of me. And if I don't see it, then I ask a friend.
Also, it's always good to just get people's hasan out because they're talking about you.
Yeah. But I actually have an experience that... So I have lots of those experiences where obviously I've prejudged people and then it turns out they were different than what I thought. But I want to share something where it's the opposite, where I actually had a great first impression of someone, but later on discovered that I actually didn't a lot of aspects of their personality.
Yeah.
True.
So like if I think back to university, there was a colleague that we really got along and we hit it off and we had... Like, you know, especially I feel like a lot of freshmen at a university can relate to this. You're in your first year, you click with people and then you think, okay, this is going to be my university best friend.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. But
I'll raise my hand and say that I was a loner throughout my entire university experience. I had no friends. The only spark I felt was the thunder from above my head during rainy days.
It's so funny though. And it's so true.
Yeah. And so... But then towards the end of the semester, I discovered there are so many aspects of their personality that I didn't like.
Mm.
So I slowly, slowly distanced myself. And then, you know, you get a mid or you get a break between the semesters or the terms. And so then by the new one, you kind of have different classes and then it's easier to distance yourself, which actually makes me think of the next part of the discussion, which I want to bring up is how much of people's baggage or personality traits that we dislike are we willing to put up with following the first impression? So you've had the first impression, let's say you like them or you decide you're going to give them more of your time, but there's aspects of their personality or baggage
where you know it's going to be a handful.
So how much are you willing to put up with, if at all?
I mean, me and Ali have hit, you know, almost 13 years, so I'd say a lot. I knew from day one, I was just like, well, this is gonna be a lot. I don't know, actually.
For me, it's funny. There's a few, the people that I have in my life now, are people that I didn't see their baggage. And just now slowly I'm starting to see, like, not see, but they're starting to open up to me and they're starting
in
to
small,
like,
small doses.
It is. And so I feel like with the people that I, like I said, the people that I have in my life now, no, I don't. They didn't show me that baggage or you know, all the negative traits or anything, if there is any, until recently, until we really got to be good friends and until really we, like, started hanging out.
Which I feel at that point...
I'm talking about Saleh.
But I feel at that point that's okay. That's just a friend venting to you and sharing their burdens.
With people, I feel like if... Let's say first impressions. I like the person and then I hung out with them again. And that second meeting or third meeting or whatever, I start seeing like they're starting to really vent and they're starting to really like show me all that baggage or whatever. I think I would take a step back just because it's a very fresh relationship and you're throwing all this baggage on me. I feel like my impression would be, how much are you going to show me once we're really good friends?
Yeah. It probably means that they haven't dealt with it
Exactly.
Can be, you know,
exactly.
A good friend in a new relationship.
Exactly. So I feel like if that were the case, then I would take a step back for a bit. And then, and then if I see that, no, it's okay. And it was maybe them just going through a hard time or whatever. And I feel comfortable, then I'll allow them in again.
Third, fourth, fifth,
sixth,
10th chance.
Exactly. What about you guys?
But I think, Yani, for me, a lot of it depends. First of all, how long have I known this person? Is it a friend or am I meeting them for the first time?
Yeah.
Like, I'll have two scenarios. For example, if I'm on a date
and
this person just starts talking about their ex, Oh, and it's the first date. I'm like, no, no, I don't need your past history. Like, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, definitely.
So to me, this is the first red flag.
And when you say like talking about the ex, like mentioning that they are recently broken up or
no,
like.
No, I'm not a bad person. Yeah. But no, that's fine. But going into details of, oh, we did this, we did that, I did this, this is why we broke up, this is what happened.
Going into like,
then it's the first date. I'm not your therapist. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't need this. But then. Another part of with friends that I've known for a while, and I think this is something I've acquired as a talent growing up, which I don't know, maybe some people see it as a bad thing, some people see it as a good thing, and I'm okay with that. Like, I actually don't mind. But I've learned to disassociate myself with certain aspects. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean, I could have a friend, and I'm very honest, like you can, you guys know this. You can ask Saleh. Like, I'm straight to the point. If I don't like something, I'll be I don't like it. I'm cut to the point. And I expect people to be like this with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather be hurt for 5 minutes than be fooled for 7 years.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that. Like,
that's
it
the
is
kind of person I am. Yeah. So to me, but I feel like after a while, even let's say it's an impression that a friend has and it's something I don't like, I'll try to help you once. Mm. I'll try to help you twice. I'll give you advice once, twice, three. After that, if I realize you're just, this is just you and you don't want to change, but you're venting about it, I'll disassociate. Mm. Yeah. Like, you're still my friend. I still love you, but
you'll take a step back.
Yeah. I'll not care. Mm. And I can have that very quick disassociation.
Yeah.
'Cause I'm like, I'm not here for this anymore.
So there's much baggage you can take.
Yes, exactly. And I'm completely fine telling that person, listen, I give you advice 2-3 times. Mm. I don't want to be part of this aspect of your life anymore because I have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
And then maybe they get upset, but then eventually they'll get my point.
Yeah.
So there's only so much baggage I can take as much baggage as I want. There's only so much baggage I'm willing to take.
Yeah. Right.
Because I've learned growing older, like now I'm 30, I learned
you can't be like this emotionally drains people to dump their
thank
stuff
you.
In.
This emotionally drains me. And I don't want it. Like, I love myself enough to be like, I don't need this.
No, that's so true. And I think, again, going back to what we said in the beginning, I think it depends on the severity of it. Like, for me, a big red flag is if someone talks a lot about other people in a negative way. I feel like if you're talking about, and these could be their friends. So if you're talking about your other friends this way, behind their back, then what are you saying about
me? And I hate that, by the way.
Like, I'm so surprised by how many people do it to strangers.
Like,
I don't know you and you're already bad-mouthing people that I know you know. And I'm thinking to myself, like, are you sane? Like, what does that, do you not care about what your first impression
is? And you know, it
like?
Could be that they're trying to, and this is the reason that they're wanting to make new friends, is they're not in
a good
friendship circle or something, and they're trying to get out of it. But I just think that's not the right approach because it gives people the wrong first impression. And I've been in that situation where, you know, I tolerated it. But then when I saw it became a pattern, I slowly distanced myself from that person.
Yeah.
Another big thing for me is if the person that you meet from the first, for like either for the first time or like for the first few times, gets comfortable enough where they start teasing you or making fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the severity of it again, but that's for something for me that I don't tolerate. Because I've been in toxic friendships before where it was, you know, it was very much that poking fun, making jokes that are not very kind. And I know that's something I don't want to tolerate because I feel your friend should build you up, not
tear you down.
I feel like at this age, we're at the stage in our life where we know what we are okay with we know what we're not okay with. Like, for me, same thing with Hassan. Someone who's going to bring me down, someone who's going to give me, okay, if you're going to help me or like tell me, by the way, that wasn't nice, or you know, like, you know, assist me in that, those small ways, fine. I'm not saying I'm not going to allow
criticism.
That. Yes. But then if you're going to bring me down every single time I see you or every time it's just going to be weight, then I feel like those are the different types of relationships that I'm starting to like slowly withdraw.
I was just thinking about for myself, whenever I meet someone, maybe not during the past year and a half, but before that, I always get this experience. And I don't know if anyone here, you know, listening can relate or you guys relate. We said this a few times where we say we've reached a certain age and I have done that. So as soon as I touched into my 30s, I am an open book. Mm. So when I sit in a coffee shop with someone, listen, I'm good with the circle that I have. Yeah. I'm not looking for new people. So when I sit and someone asks me, like, how's your day or how's your upbringing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you. Like, I'll pull up my autobiography and I'll be like, well, where do we start? Day one, 1992, December 2nd. You know what I like to tell? I realized something.
I love how you made yourself a few years younger, by the way.
Yeah. I know.
1999.
I don't know why I called it day one. I was like, going back to it, because I am such an open book now, because I think I've just reached the level where this is me. Yeah. If you want to know my baggage, well, I'll tell you my baggage. Like, I just got to the stage where I know that everyone has their own baggage. Mm. And now I'm not afraid of it, or I'm not ashamed of it, because I owned up to it and I've come above it. Like, I know that I'm working on it or I've overcome some.
Yeah.
And so what happens, and again, here's where I don't know if anyone relates. What happens is I immediately get reciprocated, and the person that I meet for the first time ever opens up their entire life story to me. Mm. I think because they see the vulnerability, I just removed that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being genuine and I'm being very honest about my experiences. Yeah. All of a sudden, they tell me their entire life story.
Yeah.
And then I realize, okay, I'm done. No, I'm joking. But then I realize, I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like, someone...
That's comfortable enough to share.
Yeah. And then, alhamdulillah, like, after that first interaction,
yeah,
I always get, like, we always interact, like, through email, if it's like a work experience or if it's through WhatsApp or whatever, of the person saying, well, that was a really nice conversation. Mm-hmm. We should do it more often. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not close friends and, you know, we're not going to be seeing each other every day.
Yeah.
It might be like a yearly thing or every 6 months, but it's those interactions where I feel like, khalas, if someone's sitting with me and they want a first impression, I'm going to give you a movie. Like, sit down, buy a ticket, get some popcorn.
You know, it really reminds me of when I was in university, we had a public speaking class. And one of the first classes is we had to each team up with someone and introduce. They had to tell us something about themselves and we had to introduce them to the class, and they do the same for us.
Okay.
So this girl was introducing this guy and saying his story. And the story was really dark. And it was like basically talking about his girlfriend and him going on a picnic, and then it was up in the mountains, and basically an accident happened and she passed away.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, like,
why would you say that
on the first time? Like, obviously a horrible experience. I can't imagine going through something like that, but is it really appropriate to be sharing something like that?
Okay, so when I say I'm vulnerable in front of people, I mean, like, I tell them my favorite movies and, like, the flavor ice cream I want. I don't tell them about my deepest and darkest secrets.
Yeah, so I just felt like that was pretty inappropriate. So the example that you shared made me think of that.
I do have to ask, because I don't know Ali's first impression of me. I've heard snippets of your first impression of me. So I do have to ask, what was... And Hassan, I don't know. What your first impression was of me?
Well, obviously it was good.
because I hated you, but here we are married with a kid.
With a kid.
But yeah, I would like to just ask that question and see what you, like, our first impression of each other.
Oh. So this is what I was going to ask you, because I was like, oh my God, I don't know if this question is offensive. No. I don't remember the first time I met you.
I don't remember the first exact time. I remember the meeting. Like, I remember it was a group setting.
It
was during Ramadan. I think you had was with Saleh and all his cousins when we did the family game night, I think.
Oh, okay.
One of the game nights that we used to do in Ramadan.
Must have been during your Ramadan trip.
Maybe, yeah. Okay.
It wasn't Secret Santa?
No, it wasn't
first time. Secret Santa wasn't the first time.
Yeah. Okay. It was after. It was in, I remember it was Ramadan, and it was in like a group gathering with your brothers. And I think it was one of the big ones that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember the first time.
I remember the first time I met you.
And I know that might sound rude to some people. Oh, I don't remember the first time I met you. But it's not that. But I mean, like, in the sense that it was so... When I first met you, I felt like... We had known each other for so long, if that makes sense. Like, we clicked.
Yeah.
I remember I was laughing. I remember it was a fun experience where I thought to myself, because obviously you married, or my best friend married you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, ugh, if this is not going to go well, goodbye.
This is not going to be good.
But then again, going back to it, like, yeah, what I first thought of you was, yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have to be very appropriate,
yeah,
because, you know, she looks like she's like all like polished and like such a good, you know, Susie homemaker and so nice, and look, she made us fresh food, fresh bread from scratch.
Okay, no, I didn't. Not the first time.
but basically that's what, yeah, I heard. Heard of you, mm, and what I've seen, yeah, but then when I realize you're delusional and insane like myself, I realize we're going to be best friends.
You know, I have to say, like, alhamdulillah, this is something I'm really grateful for. Everyone from my family who has met Shahra has said that she gels well with the family, which I think is really important.
And now she's looking at Ali. Tell me good things about me. Tell me good things.
Like, I want to, but I genuinely don't remember. Yeah.
It's okay. What's your impression of me now?
Question. I mean, I could take it or leave it.
No, I think it's like, to me, it's very important to be. So to me, it's very important. Like, my impression of you now is you're such an easygoing person to talk with and to interact with, and it's always fun. Like, again, as I said earlier, to me, it's like you guys are family. You know, so it's easy to be like you were asking me earlier. Oh, what are you doing today? I'm like, oh, well, today I have this, but maybe we can do something tomorrow. Oh, how about let's meet up for dinner here?
Yeah.
Oh, and then also to me, this might sound mean because you also guys had like a episode on bullying, but to me, if I can easily make fun and joke with someone, to me, that's when I know I'm close with them.
Right.
Yeah. Like a lot of people are like, oh, but
if they have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But can I be fair? I've never felt like a bullying sense of humor from you.
Okay.
It's fun.
You
it's
hear
light.
That, Saleh? No, I know what's happening.
It's light banter.
You know
light.
What's happening in his mind? He's like, well, I guess I have to up the ante now.
I'll show them a bit more of my crazy. I do remember the first time I met you, Saleh, though.
What did you think? You thought such a handsome, amazing person, so smart.
No.
Very humble, clearly.
Yes.
Imagine she says none of those things, actually.
I remember it was in Circle.
Oh, yes. Mm.
We went to the cafe. And I remember Hassan said to me, do you want to go and meet him? I had heard so much about you already from the family and from everyone talking about how, oh my God, this is Hassan's best friend. He grew up with him and everything. I'm just like, okay, this is obviously someone who is important to Hassan. but when I met you, I think whatever I had heard, like how nice you are and how kind and genuine and just, you know, fun. It matched to what I had.
Do you want to rephrase and say it was even better when you met me?
I mean, I have said this before.
This is, by the way, I'm 100% sure the listener is going to listen and be like, yeah, you guys need a mid-season finale, like a mid-season break because this guy's ego is getting too big.
I do have to say, and I've said this before, you are a brother to me now. Not even like a brother, you are a brother to me.
You're also like a sister because technically I don't have any.
And I don't have a brother. That's why I've told you. Ali's done.
Ali, you're like a second cousin.
But I feel like this is a great way to wrap up the episode. We are going to miss speaking to you guys weekly, but we will be back within a month. So stay tuned
and
we'll keep you updated.
And if you guys, obviously, during the next month, while you're binging the other episodes, have an inspiring thought about what our topics could be, please let us know because we're always interested to learn from you guys because at the end of the day, the audience, you guys are the ones that are listening into the topics. We want you guys to also direct and navigate us through your journey of life and tell us what you'd like to hear as well.
But yeah, as always, thank you guys for listening and thank you, Ali, for joining us for our last episode before our break.
And until then, you guys head over to my account for my fake podcast that I have not launched yet. but I'm so glad I got to be on two episodes of actually three.
This is your third, but your second third. In person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was really fun and I enjoyed it. And
we're going to miss you.
I miss you guys also on the podcast as well.
It's only a month.
Yeah it won't be too long. And well, yeah, so you guys know where to reach us at Let's All Scream on Instagram and Facebook or letsallscream.podcast@gmail.com over email. Thank you guys and speak to you soon.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.